Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
More Dylan, more Hoffman. Hey guys, Patrick here. Just want to have a really quick preamble to this episode. When Tim Hoffman and I sat down to record these episodes on Dylan's period that you've been listening to yesterday and we'll listen to today, we sort of said, yeah, you know, let's keep it like 30, 40 minutes. Of course, we didn't quite make that. So we've split this recording up into two episodes. So it'll be slightly abrupt today, but I want to tell you, too, that we're going to lead in today with a little discussion of the background singers on these Dylan LPs and how important they were to his sound. So I'm going to hit play on the tape, and we will continue with Tim Hoffman, a little bit of me, and Bob Dylan.
And talk a little bit to Tim about, you know, I think we've seen this now for two, three albums in a row, the trio of background singers,
He's
that was part of the tour.
Oh yeah,
right, they, as well, they that were was really important.
Yeah. Very important.
Yeah.
They really, to me, seeing them, 17 years old or something like that, like they really stole the show. I mean, I've seen Bob Dylan, so Bob Dylan, the first time to see him in concert, and pretty close.
I bet, yeah.
It was a powerful experience, and the band was great.
Yeah.
And the backing singers, one of whom I think ended up becoming his second wife.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
Wasn't thinking about it at the time. Not into
no, it's not something that would cross your mind.
Musician, romance, drama.
No.
Gossip. I was just like, I'm just watching this concert.
Right.
But they really brought a legitimacy to the experience. Like, this is gospel music. Not because I want to be preached to, but because I love gospel as a music form and it's a celebration. So there was a very good a feeling, for me at least. Now, others in the audience, and I think this probably just hounded him. It probably didn't bother him because he's so used to it.
Yeah.
Along the tour as things go on. But certainly that night in Akron, there are people, you know, like a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, of course.
Blowing in the wind.
Right.
Like, and he had a couple comments back in return to people like that, like, oh, you can't drink from two cups at the same time or something like that. Basically, like, this is what I'm playing.
Right.
If you don't like it, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, but maybe he wasn't even sorry. Just like, if you don't like it, tough.
Right.
This is what I'm playing.
Yeah.
You know?
This and, is where I am now. Yeah.
Exactly. And as far as I was concerned, I'm like, all right, I'm with you, man. Like,
yeah.
You're Bob Dylan. I'm here to hear what you got. And walked away from that concert just like, really pumped.
That is cool.
And it was a great show. And I probably, you know, I ended up seeing them probably five or six times after that.
Is that right? Since then? Wow.
Amazing. Yeah, different places, different, you know, types of shows and stuff like that. But this was, you know, for me, like, first time, sometimes the best time, and this was, like, really, really good show. I think one other track on this that just sounds out, and the only reason, well, one of the reasons I picked this track out is the final track again, when he returns, is because I think, yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard people who, when you're talking about Bob Dylan, they're like, yeah, great songwriter, beautiful lyrics, but his voice, but to me, that, this track, when he returns with, it's just a piano and Bob Dylan singing. And his voice is great.
Yeah.
I mean, he just can, like, sustains these notes, and he'll, like, get up high, get down low. He's got a lot of growl to it. So I don't know. I will vehemently disagree with people when they're like, Bob Dylan's voice is blah, blah, blah. I'm like, his voice is killer on this song.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. It's unlike anything else. And, you know, I'm just, this is kind of blowing my mind now. I'm just thinking, I was thinking this originally, that I had something, you know, for me anyway, as profound as I get. But the last song on each one of these albums is really important,
exactly.
I think. And this, especially when you come to the end, right?
When we get to that record, again, that was one I put a little star next to him. Like,
that one.
You can't help but mention that.
Exactly,
because it's so sweet.
Yeah.
But Slow Train, I love it. He's definitely full. He's not, you know, stepping into the stream or coming out of it. He's in the middle of the stream.
Right.
And it's like, this is where I am. This is what I'm singing. and fully committed
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Album, and I will admit again, like, as much as I love Bob Dylan's music or follow Bob Dylan, Saved is probably the one that I at the time like knew the least.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe it was kind of like, okay, look at the album cover, and you're like,
yes,
like, okay. It's got the hand of God reaching down to several hands of people who are reaching up, looking for or seeking
yes.
contact and salvation, yeah. I'm assuming. But I, you know, it was almost like, okay, he's still in his born-again Christian thing, or he's still on this track, so maybe I don't need to follow this as closely, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. But... having let it sit for a while, I think I had it on the in the pile or in the crate, you know, and then getting it out later, I am amazed, like, how solid this record is.
Yeah,
like, very there's some good, mm-hmm. good, I mean, the band is super tight.
Yep.
Again, this is produced by Jerry Wexler, yep. so same, and Barry Beckett, so the same duo that produced Slow Train, but... If you look at just songs from beginning to end, I think, you know, What Can I Do For You, Solid Rock, Pressing On, In the Garden, Saving Grace, like those songs just in a row are sweet. And what this album also, I feel like he's starting to bring a more rock and roll feel.
Uh-huh.
It feels more rock and roll than
yep.
Slow Train does.
Yep.
Like, Solid Rock is a rock song.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that struck me, too, you know, I'm so glad you said that, too, about the band, because when I listened to this yesterday, just streaming it while I was doing something else, but, man, it was so tight. You know, the band plays with such incredible... ease and efficiency,
yeah.
yet there's still emotion and feeling in these songs. It's not,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like they're studio dudes just going through the motions. I mean,
no.
They're right there behind
yeah.
each movement of these tunes. And I was so surprised at how easy it was to listen to, how comfortable it felt when I was listening to it, you know,
right.
over and above any of the lyrics or, you know, any of that stuff.
Exactly. I don't feel like I need to think about this
yeah.
as like a member of a congregation of
yeah.
this church or that group or where I stand spiritually or religiously. I like, it's just really good music to me.
Yeah.
I think the one that really, I mean, there's, again, I love them all, but I think of special note is side two, track one, Pressing On.
Yes,
because
that's a great
so,
one.
It just builds and builds and builds and builds. And the backing singers just really kick it. And when, you know, there's this, like, there's a little callback stuff where he's like, I'm pressing on.
Yeah.
And they're going on and on and on
yeah.
and on.
Say, prove to me that he's Lord. Show me a sign. What kind of sign? When it all comes from within. When what's lost
And I don't know, man. If you're listening to that, let's say you're driving in the car or you're just sitting around, if you're not going to sing along to that,
yeah,
I don't know.
I know. I know what you mean. It's a great one. And I think it, of course, hindsight, right?
Yeah.
We're looking back and putting all this kind of in context. And I love this idea and this section of albums. But it goes right with that, right? I'm going to continue with what I'm doing here. I'm right. Not going to, you know, I've gone down this road. I'm not going to double back and, you know, put it in reverse and go backwards. I'm going to press on and let,
right.
and find out where this is going to take
right,
me.
Right, right,
right. Yeah.
Because yeah, I wonder, because, you know, he probably, and he, some of the lyrics speak to this, like what his friend's reaction to his
yeah.
changes and his friend's reaction to his stances and I think he's just like, hey, I'm still going full steam ahead, kind of
right.
like that.
Yeah.
So it's a really sweet album that, yeah, like, just, even myself, like, I had to maybe let it sit for a while.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it.
Yep.
It wasn't like, oh, this is just a weird release. It was like, I'm not ready to hear this yet. You know, maybe a couple years later, when I listened to it, I'm like, like you said, like, this is a very comfortable and easy album to listen mm-hmm. to, even if you're doing something else while you're listening to it. But it won't take long. Pretty soon you find yourself just kind of like getting
yep.
into it. Great record. Great
yeah.
record. I will say my only criticism is like, man, they could have done a little bit more with the album art.
Yes. I was going to say, yeah, the drawing, you know, it's like that famous poster that was in the greatest hits with the psychedelic hair or whatever.
Yeah.
They just got a guy who had a good drawing of Bob. I was like, yeah, put that on there. I mean, it looks good.
Even
yeah.
the back cover, like, there's a picture, like
yeah.
a full, you know, landscape view picture of the band on stage from, looks like, maybe 100 feet back.
Yeah.
But I'm like, boy, you couldn't find a fuzzier,
no.
more blurry photograph.
You could not have done it. And if Bob wasn't in the spotlight, you might not know which one he
exactly.
was, right? Yeah,
exactly.
That's crazy.
You're like, wow, okay. So, obviously, you're not picking this thing up to appreciate the album
no.
art. You're
no.
just like, getting to
or,
the music.
Or buying it because the cover looks cool, that's for sure.
That's right. In fact, I think that record, the cover was redone later.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
that.
There's
it changed it to the equally bad,
that's right.
like, drawing
yep.
inside of.
There's a different one.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they like,
yep.
I don't know if it was just, like, a little too heavy-handed, like, ooh, this is,
right.
you know, fire and brimstone.
What can like. We do here, Bob? Yeah.
Really interesting.
Very interesting.
The last yeah. Record Shot in this series is Shot of Love, and I loved this record since the first time I put the needle on this. Like, I loved it looking at it in the, you know, at Kmart when I picked it up. I'm like, what a cool cover. It's just like comic book explosion.
It is. Yeah, pop art. Number
yeah,
one.
Pop
yeah,
art.
Absolutely.
Cool font.
Yep.
And a sweet photograph of Bob Dylan pondering a rosebud
yeah.
on the back there.
Man.
And again, like, looking at the band, you've got some great people. Jim Keltner
yep.
might be the line through all of these records.
You're right,
as the
he plays
drummer.
On some on every record. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
The backing vocalists are still with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got, you know, some appearances of, like, all sorts of different people. Ben Montench
yep.
from the Heartbreakers on keyboards. You've got Ringo Starr on drums and Tom Tom. My Heart of Mine has Ringo and Ronnie Wood on guitar. So there are just appearances of a number of... It's not the same musicians throughout. So this was obviously recorded in different sessions. But this record, to me, this is kind of like the... Not the transition out of and away from a Born Again
mm-hmm.
or like that sort of vein he was running through there for three records or so, but more kind of like, all right, I've absorbed all this. Now it continues. I mean, there's a lot of still religious themes, Property of Jesus,
yeah.
the song, right? That's, you know, pretty heavy duty religious song. I'll save the last track for
yeah.
last, but
yeah,
there's also some just oddball. So you start to see some things come back. We don't need to play it, but folks, if you have never heard the song Lenny Bruce,
oh my God,
I think
yeah.
you have to listen.
It's great.
To that song.
Lenny Bruce is dead.
I rode with him in a taxi once. It was only for a couple of blocks, but it felt like we were in there for 3 hours or something.
Yeah, it felt like a couple of months.
Yeah, like a couple of months. Yeah,
it's some great, great line. Lines about Lenny Bruce.
Yeah. It's almost like just, you know, I guess maybe I don't know off the top of my head when Lenny Bruce died.
Yeah, or if it was it was early Bob just,
you know, Bob just thought of it or was an anniversary of it. I don't know why it would come to his mind. But.
Yeah, Lenny Bruce died in like mid-60s or late 60s.
So, yeah,
so they, Dylan, I'm sure, you know, obviously ran and shared a taxi with him at some point.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, he's on his mind. So,
yeah,
like, what a great song.
I know. It's so cool that it just kind of pops up.
Yeah. And I think another standout, I mean, the rock, I say, first of all, you got to play just the beginning of Shot of Love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this record starts out just like the cover suggests.
Boom.
With a bang.
I need a shot of love. I need a shot of love. I need a shot of heroin to kill my disease. Need a shot of turpentine, only bring me to my knees.
Funny, I adore this album too. And when I work at so this would have been like 83 or 84 when I was working there. And the manager was a really nice guy who he never told us exactly what his religion was, but it was clear that he held his faith very, very important to him. You know, he told people that, but he never. Try to convert anybody or said anything to the workers there, at least not to me or anybody that I ever saw. But he always told us funny stories about he used to have wild days and now he's straight and laced. But one time we were closing, we had to close in the store, him and I, and, you know, anybody who's worked at a retail job, after you pull the gate down, there's a whole bunch of crap you got to do, right? So you got a good half hour, 45 minutes. And he said, he called everybody that worked there Tex. I don't know if he knew our names, but one time he said, Tex, come here, Tex. It was just me and him. He goes, this is it, man. This is it. And he put on Shot of Love while we were doing the cleanup stuff. And the other thing I'll say really quick is that I met a musician when I started playing in bands and stuff. And he was in this noise band, man. They just played noise all the time. And they were really cool, but I liked them, but I'm not sure if I really understood completely, you know, what they were about, but they were super heavy. And he lived in the same area as me. And so one day we said we were going to go out record shopping on a Saturday, and he came and picked me up, and I got in his car, and he puts a tape in or a CD. I can't remember which one. It was side two of Shot of Love. And I'm like, no way. What are you doing listening to this? He goes, dude, that's one of my favorite albums of all time, man.
That's
like,
great.
I thought you just listened to, like, you know, Radiators Busting or something.
Starts with Dead Man.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, both sides start with like a really just like brutal, like heavy song.
Yeah.
Like, acoustically, like just the sound of it and the lyrics of it. But this record's great. I love this record.
Oh, it's
got a different producer. Bob Dylan is also listed as one of the producers.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yep.
Yeah. Chuck Plotkin. Yeah.
I'd say What's interesting, another thing about this record is, like, when this came out, I don't know how many people were waiting around for, like, I wonder when Bob Dylan's going to start to come out of his evangelical born-again Christian thing. So I think this might have been ignored more than it would have been otherwise if he was just putting out mainstream or more, like, commercially viable stuff. I love all of his stuff. And for those people who maybe missed it, to me, there are, like, a couple tracks. One is, I think, In the Summertime. Because if you could put In the Summertime on almost any other Dylan album, you could put on an album from 65, 66, and it would fit in.
It would work.
Perfectly there. It's Bob, guitar, and his harmonica. So the harmonica is coming back, and he's got that going again. It sounds like any, you know, lovely, much loved Dylan song from any of his early records from 15 years earlier.
Yeah.
But I think the last track on here, Every Grain of Sand, is very tender. And to me, like, you listen to that, like, oh, this, he's not a cynical person. I think he says pretty much everything in that song. And it's a beautiful song. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, the first time I heard it, I was like, ooh, this is a nice song.
Oh, my God. It's one of my favorite Dylan songs of all time. I mean, I would have to put it on, you know, a top 10 list without a doubt. And that's obviously with his catalog, I'm putting that in very high esteem. I don't know. I think lyrically, it kind of sums up, it kind of crystallizes, you know, this stance in many ways. And, you know, you still get some stuff on Infidels and, you know, a few of the later ones, you still get pieces of it, but to me it all crystallizes, like, the journey, the process of pressing on comes down, and he tells you in this song what it is he's found, right? You know, it's in the time of my confession right here, I'm going to say that at the beginning, and every hair is numbered like every grain of sand, right? And that, you know, every thing has a purpose and a place, and that's where he's come to be on this, right? And there is definitely a power that's controlling that in his view. And it's so incredibly gorgeous. I mean, the lines are beautiful and the melody is crazy good. Yep. I mean, it's one of the most perfectly written songs of all time.
I think so too. Yeah. And it's delivered. It's there's nothing terribly fancy about the way it's recorded or delivered.
No.
It's got the harmonica at the end. It's sort of it's such a perfect ending for not just, you know, this album, but, like, again, like, this whole stretch of albums where he's, like, going through something. And the way you describe it, Patrick, it's a crystallization of a lot of the things he's been saying on this record and on earlier records. So it's just a nice way to kind of tie a bow around it.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And then, you know, I believe Infidels was next, right?
Yes.
Suddenly, like, he's back to the black sunglasses on the front, right? He's looking more like the guy on the cover of Highway 61 with the motorcycle shirt, and all, you know, he's back to that. But I don't know. A lot of the searching culminates in the last track on this record, on Every Grain of Sand.
Yeah, it really does.
Giant Sand does a great cover of this song. And I don't know if anybody could ever catalog all the people who've covered Bob Dylan songs, but this is an incredibly challenging one, I think, that, you know, you would undertake to cover, but it's, you know, it's amazing.
It'll be a tough one to cover. I think my thoughts would be like, how can you're not trying to improve something when you cover it, but just like, it's almost like kind of like too iconic to kind of mess with.
Yeah. And too close intertwined with him.
Right.
You know, also. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I thanks, Patrick,
for
letting me get this out.
This is amazing.
I want to do a shout out to my brother Steve. Thanks, Steve, man, for getting me into Dylan way back when. I think it was his kind of like, it started maybe before the stuff. He's like, just sit down and listen to Visions of Johanna.
Yeah,
right? So started there. But then when it got to Street Legal, we really, really dug into it. But
that's amazing.
These records to me are very special, and I hope other people, you know, if you've never listened to any of them, or if you've, like, gave them a quick precursory, if that's a word.
Yeah.
Like listen and again, all right, put it on the shuffle, like get them out and like listen to them because they're
absolutely
they're really sweet. And I kind of feel like there's something in the air now where I feel like Bob Dylan is someone like the, I was telling you about the article that was in the Washington Post Sunday magazine. Yeah. I think it was April 24th.
Mm-hmm.
That's just this great article where someone is writing about his interest or slash obsession with Dylan to the point where he's like, I'm going to move to Nashville, Tennessee, because Bob Dylan's opening a whiskey distillery there, and I want to work at the gift shop. Yeah. That's how much I love Bob Dylan.
That's like, amazing. Yeah.
So he's definitely something that's, I think, kind of resonating again in our culture. Mm-hmm. And he's back on tour, and now that the pandemic is in a situation where people can go out again, I think his Rough and Rowdy Ways most recently released studio record, I think that we'll see more more stage time as he tours around.
So, that'll be great too.
Yeah. And man turns 82.
It's unbelievable. This month probably, right? As you hear this. One thing I got to ask before we wrap this up.
Sure.
How did your brother get the life-size cutout from Street Legal? Did he know somebody that worked at the record store?
It was his friend, his roomie.
His roommate, Manny,
I think, just cajoled the record store person because, trust me, I don't think Street Legal was flying off the shelves.
No.
So I think he's like, hey, can I have that? And he's probably like, yeah, I need some floor space. Get that thing out of here.
It's funny because I remember, too, when I worked at the Sam Goody or Musicland at the time, whatever it was, that the Motown, Tamla, sent us a huge thing for a Stevie Wonder album. And I can't remember which one it is off the top of my head right now. It might have been In Square Circle or something like that. And you know, tons of flats with the album cover and like a big stand-up thing of the cover and like one of those life-size things. And I remember somebody saying, hey, do you want this? And I was like, nah, I don't want that. But man, I wish I could go back in time.
I would love to have a...
I want that Stevie Wonder thing.
I want the Bob Dylan Street Legal cutout thing. Yeah. Hey, if I can find a link to that, I'll put it maybe on the notes for this episode.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. We'll go back in time. We're not going to stop Hitler. We're not going to stop 9/11. We're going to go to the Akron in 78 and steal that Street Legal.
That's what I want the time machine for.
That's right. Yeah, that's what you're going to use it for. Wow, you can't have it. Sorry. Tim, this has been fantastic.
Patrick, thank you so much, man.
I've got to think there are going to be people out there who have thoughts about this period of records.
Please. Yeah, I love to hear, and it doesn't have, you know, I love to hear when people don't agree with me.
Yeah,
I
mean, absolutely.
If you feel otherwise, you're not going to get any fight from me about things like that. Everyone's got their own tastes. So I love hearing how people feel about music, positive, you know, or indifferent or otherwise. So yeah, please just let us hear your responses.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us anywhere on the Suburbs socials, at Suburbs Pod. There's a very active Facebook community. If you want to go there and find that, just search for Rockin' the Suburbs Podcast. You can send us an email. And a convenient way that a lot of people get in touch is because we love to hear your voice on the show. It's so amazing to have Tim here in person, and we want to hear, you know, the way you're expressing it, too. Right. So just everybody's got a recorder in your pocket. Just pull it out, record a voice file or whatever you use, and just email it, rock@suburbspod.com. And intern Matt does an amazing job of cataloging everything that comes in. You wouldn't believe it, folks. There's a page on our shared drive where each topic has its own responses. So we'd love to hear what you think about these records and Dylan in general. I mean, if you're planning to go see him or you have a concert story, we'd love to hear that as well. So get in touch with us, folks. We'd really appreciate it. Tim, is there any place that you care to mention that people can follow you or get in touch? Or
I'm on Facebook. Okay. I keep a pretty low profile, I'm on Facebook. It's Timothy Hoffman. If you see a picture of a playlist from the Rockin' the Suburbs radio station, that's usually something that I post every week. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. I'm not on Twitter or Instagram, but yes, hit me up there or, you know, just contact me somehow. And
yeah, or if you want to get something to Tim, just email it to us, rocketsuburbspod.com, and we'll definitely pass it along to him as well if you're not on that particular network. And that's the other thing I want to mention is your radio show. Tell us when that plays and what it's about.
Mixtape with Tim Hoffman is on every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what I do basically is put together, you know, side one, side two of what in my mind is a cassette tape, kind of a gift to the listeners every week. So I kind of put things together. I might have a theme. Last week I did I picked all songs from 1976.
That was cool.
Because I'm like, hey, I was 13 years old. And I read somewhere they're like, your musical tastes kind of peak at 13. I'm not sure if I agree with it, but I'm like, 1976 was a crazy year in music. So totally there was just all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And this week, it will be over by this time, but I think I'm going to do I'm an educator, so it's Teacher Appreciation Week.
Oh, there you go.
Faculty and Staff Appreciation Week. So I'm going to do a gift for the teachers and educators in the world and particular at Herndon Middle School, where I'm an assistant principal, so put something together for them.
Awesome. Well, happy Educator Week to you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
And thank you so much for all this. And folks, it's been a lot of fun doing this, and I hope it triggers a good couple of fan mail episodes where we can talk about it further. But you have been listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. My normal co-host, or usual co-host, Jim Linehan, obviously is not here, and I thank you, Tim, for stepping in. But we will wrap it up here, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. I'm Patrick Foster.
And Tim Hoffman here. Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care, everyone.
In the time of my confession, in the hour of my deepest need, tears beneath my feet that flood every newborn seed. There's a dying voice within me reaching out somewhere, toiling in the dangers and in the morrows of despair.
Bronchitis is fucking up.